Hey, this is Deontay the Bronze Bummer Wilder, WBC Heavyweight Champion of the World, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. Bam, baby! Good night.
I don't know of a boxing event, a boxing fight, I'm talking in my serious tone, that I'm looking forward to as much as I am that. I truly am. And I don't know if it's because I like them both.
It's a rematch.
The rematch.
Controversial.
I don't know if the rematch has me as intrigued as I really do like them both. And one we had on, or I had on the show from the Super Bowl in 2019. And the other, how do you not like the guy?
And they both had that draw, right? And they both went on and had success throughout the year to come back to rematch it. So it's not like one had a decline after that and kind of lost their stock or their value. Now they're both coming in prime again. And we're going to see who's going to be the undisputed champion.
I don't care who wins. I want them both to win. I don't want either one to lose.
Double knockout?
You know, no, I don't want them both to lose.
You want a Matt Hughes like double knockout?
No, I was going to say this is, to me, very similar to Matt Hughes-Frank Trigg.
Sure.
You know, that I think I like them both. You know, and you know I'm not a fan.
Right.
But as I sit back, I like them both as a fan, sure. which I try not to do. But I don't know. I'm really torn. I don't want to say that I'm quite where I was with Frank and Matt, where I'd be more upset for who loses than happy for who wins. I don't know either one. I mean, we interviewed Deontay, and, you know, I wouldn't know Tyson if, well, I would know him. Yeah, you know, he's 19 feet tall, and he has an accent.
Yeah.
And he's the Gypsy King.
How can you not know the Gypsy King?
But I am looking forward to it.
I mean, they're both entertainers. They're both amazing talent. They're both monsters.
And they're both one-shot guys.
Right.
They're both looking for that one.
Although, in the first fight, Fury used that like that backhanded jab to keep the space and the distance, and Deontay had no answers for that. So it would be interesting to see how he adjusts to this next one.
All I remember from the first fight was the Undertaker sit-up. You know, after Fury went down, it gets to six, and all of a sudden he's the Undertaker. They needed the Undertaker music, and then it would have been phenomenal.
He just, well, you heard Rocky, right? Didn't you hear him like screaming in his mind?
Get up, Rock!
Right? That's pretty remarkable. So, yeah.
It's like when you're tired of making pizza. One more pizza! You know, like when Rocky says, one more round. One more. Hey, Tommy, I didn't hear the bell. One more round. I just found my poster that I do need to get framed from Tommy Morrison.
Oh, yeah? You got a Tommy Morrison poster.
Yeah, I got so many things I need to frame.
Well, hang them here at Tour de Pizza.
We have a
autograph memorabilia section. I've already got. We got there, Matt the Hammer Hamill and Uriah Faber, the Cali Kid.
And some guy with a lot of weights.
That's Ronnie Coleman, 8-time Mr. Olympia. For those of you counting?
I'm not.
Well, if you can count to 8, then you would know who he is.
Yeah, I almost got in a fight at the Arnold.
No.
I did.
Why would you fight at the Arnold? There's too many big guys there.
I know. Well, the big guy wasn't a guy.
Oh. he identified as a guy?
I made a comment about all these big buff, blah, 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 and it was, yeah. And not to that person.
Right.
You know, we were at a restaurant, you know, right across from. All right. So let's jump back out to Las Vegas as we get ready, not only for my trip out there in a couple of days, but the fight itself. Let's welcome to the show, Tim Elliott. Tim, how are you?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate your time. Before we get into the fight, I need to ask you this. I noticed that your birthday is the 24th of December. My sister's is the same date. And I remember growing up that she would always get one gift. It counted as her birthday, Hanukkah, and Christmas. So she kind of got shafted. Did that happen to you?
Yeah, it's just like that. Exactly like that.
So they're like, here it is. This covers everything. Have a nice December. That kind of stinks.
All right.
You've been in the sport 10-plus years. How has it changed, you know, since early in your career till this being fight week?
Man, it's changed a lot, not only in the sport, but the promotion, the company has changed quite a bit. Now having the UFC Performance Institute has like opened up a lot of avenues and different doors for people. That's actually where I'm at right now. I'm in the process of getting physical therapy at the UFC Performance Institute. But I feel like we've kind of grown up a little bit in the sense that we have a place where we can go as fighters and get treatment and, you know, sit in the sauna and talk to doctors and stuff. So the game has evolved quite a bit, and people are starting to get paid a little bit more, too, now in comparison to when I first got signed.
How much nicer is the workout room there at the PI in the main building than the old UFC headquarters on Sahara?
Oh, man, the difference in the venues of the old Ultimate Fighter and the Apex Center now, it's insane. The Apex Center cage is like state-of-the-art. It looks really, really nice. Clean, smells good. They have good sound system. So totally different, different atmosphere.
We're a year, just over a year by a couple weeks of the ESPN deal, but it still has to be cool to throw on here in the Tampa Bay area. It's channel 27 for ESPN, you know, and see your name scroll down there at the bottom of ESPN.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm lucky enough to be bumped up to the ESPN part of the card for this fight. So that's nice. And yeah, it's just like it's a real sports network, and it's starting to feel like a real sport. And like, I'm starting to feel like, and a lot of fighters that I know that train and live here, they're starting to feel like professional athletes for the first time in a long time. Guys have been fighting forever, never really made any money or even been treated like professional athletes. And all that has changed now.
You know, I was just telling Andre, who was on last hour, the first UFC that I covered was UFC 11 in Augusta. And the after party was a cheese tray, two media, Tank Abbott, and three fans.
Yeah, it's different now. They take care of us a lot more, and I feel like it's only getting better. It's still not where it needs to be, but it's getting better on a daily.
Tell us a little bit about your opponent.
Askar Askarov. I don't know too much about him. I know he's Dagestani, undefeated. Looks like a good grappler, good wrestler. But you know, I don't know too much about the guy. I haven't seen too much of him. I watched his fight with Brandon Moreno. Brandon Moreno and I are friends and we're teammates on the Ultimate Fighter. And I thought Brandon Moreno won that fight, but he looks like a good opponent. Good wrestler. It'll probably be a little bit boring, which I don't like, but it's got to, you know, that's up to me to make it exciting.
Well, funniest thing that's happened to you in a fight, and I always ask this question. I asked an MMA fighter once, a UFC fighter, and he said he was fighting Dennis Seaver. And they were talking German, and he said for about 6 seconds in the middle of a fight, in the back of my mind, I'm watching, what is it, Inglourious Bastards. So is anything strange, crazy? What's the strangest thing that's happened to you in the middle of a fight?
I when I was fighting Jerry Papazian, and I got hit with an illegal knee, and I was rocked pretty bad. And at the time, I didn't really notice it, but then when I went back and watched the tape, like I was pretty messed up, and I was just lucky enough to have good doctors in there. Dr. D kind of gave me enough time to talk to me, and then I came out of that illegal knee where I probably shouldn't have been able to finish the fight. I got to finish the fight and got a fight of the night bonus.
Yeah, Dr. D's okay, and you can tell him I said that. we're best friends. Matter of fact, I'm like an uncle to his two children, so I am only kidding.
Well, he definitely made me he made me $50,000. If it wasn't for him, like, you know, talking to me and like getting me back to being ready, the fight would have been over. It would have been a disqualification. But, you know, so I always thank him whenever I see him for that. I would thank him for the 50 grand he won me.
I was going to say, you might want to stop doing that or he's going to want to cut.
Hey, Tim. So you and I have something similar in common. I was once fired from the career that I love so much on air on this program and made a return back to the network. I know you've been public about fired. See, in the past was the best thing that ever happened to you. Now you're returned. How much is that still fueling the fire for you?
You know, I had a little bit of a time where it was kind of dying down, and I thought that maybe it was going to be, you know, I was nearing the end of my road for MMA. But then when Cejudo came down and fought TJ Dillashaw, and right now, like, it's the best time ever to be a flyweight. And, you know, I kind of, that lit a fire up under me. It could be me fighting my friend teammate Joseph Benavidez for the world title if I'd have won my last fight. So like now it's opened up a whole new light. Like I feel like now's the best time to ever be a flyweight, and it's kind of wide open. So a win here and a couple more wins, there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to be right back in the title contention.
Tim, let me ask you this. I'd like to ask this question to get to know you a little bit, and I'll try to be quick so you can get back to your therapy. You're going to have dinner at your house with four people, living or passed away. real or fictitious, but they cannot be family members, teammates, whatever. Who are you going to invite over so you can kind of sit down and hang out?
Oh, man. Probably be some old fighters. I don't know. That's a tough question. Maybe some old fighters that know some gritty, grimy stories, or I don't know, just some interesting people. I don't know. I'm pretty lucky enough to be in a place right now to where I'm surrounded by people that I love, and I have really good coaches and a really good team. So, like, I get to have dinner with the people that I want pretty much every night. So, I'm living that right now.
Living the dream. Now you're now in Vegas, correct? You're living in Las Vegas, correct?
Yes, sir.
Is it an advantage or a disadvantage to be fighting in your backyard? Now, everybody's probably calling for tickets, but also you can stay at home a little bit. So is it a pro or a con?
For me, it's a pro in the sense that, like, I have my people here. I have my house here if I need to get a certain type of food. Also, I have the Performance Institute here, which, you know, everybody that comes in can use that, but I get to use it every day. There's something different about fighting in Vegas, and the crowd is loud, and it's a big event. And I know he's never been on an event like this. So I feel like it's definitely an advantage to be able to, you know, Tuesday would be a day that I don't, like, I have to cross that day off my list of cutting weight because we have to travel on Tuesdays. But being here in Vegas, like, I don't have to miss a day of weight cut. I don't have to miss a day of training. Everything just kind of works out perfect.
What can we expect to see Saturday night on the Four Letter Network?
And I'm looking at a long, ugly, grimy fight. I want to wear this guy out, and I just want to make it ugly and make this guy uncomfortable for 15 minutes.
Good stuff. Tim, thank you very much for your time. We're going to put you on hold real quick, get your address, send you out a care package from 8 Man Strong for giving us a couple minutes of your time today.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
I will see you Saturday in the media room.
Yes, sir.
There you have it. I'm getting, you know, I normally get like this. You know, this is going to be, I don't know, 175, 180, 200, you know, UFC events up to. And it takes me a little bit of time.
Sure.
You know, to kind of get all excited and hyped up, because I try to keep, you know, low key and do the show and that kind of stuff. But as we get more athletes on today and what we're going to be doing tomorrow and Friday, and yeah, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. It's been a little long. I mean, it hasn't really been a big fight over the holidays.
But does it have to be a big, it doesn't have to me.
Well, it doesn't have to be a big fight. But with last year, how frequent the fights were, like every single week.
And we got Raleigh next week.
I know, but I'm saying, like, the holidays, there was a little bit of
an intermission.
And then
Houston 2 weeks after.
So a little bit of a break. You know, it was nice. It was refreshing.
Not only am I going to be broadcasting from 8 Man Strong headquarters in Phoenix while you're here at Torta Pizza, then when I fly to Houston, you know, for the Jones fight,
uh-huh.
I'm going to go to either dinner or breakfast with Caleb Beninat.
Wow.
Who now lives in Houston, right. Back in Houston, because he's from Katy. So,
nice.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, let's go hit a quick break. Coming to you live from Torta Pizza, 88th Avenue and 4th Street in St. Pete. More shenanigans and who knows what else when we return. Brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. This is Knockout Radio.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Chuck the Iceman Liddell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8 Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8 Man Strong. How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor,
actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Monster Jam! This is power! This is precision! This is passion! This is Monster Jam! See the legendary Gravedigger, El Toro Loco, and more of your favorite Monster Jam trucks. Brought to you by BKT Tires, Circle K, and your local Ford dealers. Tickets start at $15. Restrictions and charges may apply. Raymond James Stadium, January 11th and February 1st.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hey, this is Uriah Faber, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris.
Our radio coming to you live, Tour de Pizza, 8824 4th Street North, as always brought to you by Ape, Man Strong, and the Staff Zone. And welcome back, Randy Harris, from our little intermission. And, you know, I don't know when you're going to just concede the fact that you
never
were meant to be together.
Oh, this is so scary. Really, it's not true.
Like, you and I.
Do you believe in karma? What? Do you believe in karma?
It's like Cool and Aid, peanut and butter, stick and clutch. I mean, we're just...
Jack and Hammer.
But like, we were meant to be together, buddy.
Oh my God.
So I'm looking at the Wall of Fame over here at Tour de Pizza.
Oh, thanks for the 2020, by the way.
What do you mean? Oh yeah, I got you the who is that guy again? Rondé Barber?
You're an idiot.
I knew he was a barber, I didn't know which barber.
Maybe. I told you my barber story though, right?
No.
So Rondé goes up into the Ring of Honor.
Okay.
You know, last season, 2019.
Is that like the fake thing that Jimmy Johnson just got awarded, like the 15 guys that were hand-selected to go into the Hall of Fame over the weekend?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is that's going on. Let me finish with Rondé, yeah. And we'll come back to that, and then you can bore me with your story. So Rondé's going up into the Ring of Honor, which, you know, it's hand-picked. It's kind of like the UFC Hall of Fame. You know, it's kind of like the Mascot Hall of Fame that my buddy started in Philadelphia, who was the original greatest mascot of all time. What's the greatest mascot of all time? Who is your favorite mascot?
Man. I mean, growing up as a Fanatic.
Right.
Well, that was the
Fanatic is the only. The San Diego Chicken is a close second.
Yeah, the Chicken was good.
But the Philly Fanatic, the best. I was doing a charity event at Al Lang Stadium.
Okay.
Back in the day, way back in the day. And I'm helping. It's a decathlon. It was a really cool event. Not to go into that, but it was phenomenal. So I hear this guy sitting in the third base dugout telling these little kids a story.
Okay.
And he's telling them that he's the Philly fanatic.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, what are you talking about? I don't think so.
All right.
Well, it was. It was Dave Raymond.
Wow.
Who was the original Philly fanatic. And then we became very good friends, and I used to go into his office. So I would go up to Philly games, and I'd sit in his office because he only went and performed for like two innings a game.
Sure.
So he would do pregame, and then we'd sit there for a couple innings. Then he'd get dressed. He'd run around and do his stuff and whatever. But the Philly fanatic, to me, was always the man.
Yeah, yeah.
He started a mascot Hall of Fame. So it's all similar. I mean, who really decides who goes into a Ring of Honor? But Rondé deserves to be in the Buccaneer Ring of Honor. No doubt, no question. So Rondé and I are friends.
Right.
You know, I don't want to say great friends. We're friends.
You guys are pretty chummy at the golf event last year.
No, yeah, well, I mean, we're friends. I mean, I've been in the house.
Out of all the people there, he definitely, like, you guys shared more time together than the other people he allotted for.
Yeah, okay. So whatever. So Rondé is doing the Bucs game.
Okay.
And then at halftime, he's going to go down and go into the Ring of Honor. So he's walking by me, and I go and I shake his hand, and I hug him. And I tell him, congratulations. And he whispers into my ear, I'm Tiki. I covered. I'm like, no, I know that. So you know, congratulations to you, too.
So I have a similar story.
Of course you do.
I hug this radio guy named Danny Bottaducci. I'm like, hey, I thought it was you. No.
A, that's not funny.
But you don't think you look like Danny Bottaducci?
I've never thought I looked like Danny.
Seriously?
I've never thought it.
Really? Go back to your Survivor audition tape. I thought it was Danny Bottaducci.
Did I tell you my Danny story?
No.
All right. So I've been told this my whole life. I mean, and when I was younger, my hair was red.
Right.
And whatever. I still don't think I look like it.
You do.
And I still didn't get anywhere near as lucky as he did at 11. That's all I'm going to say. All right. Okay.
The Partridge family.
You know, hanging out with David Cassidy has its benefits.
It helps.
So Danny Bottaducci is throwing out the first pitch at a Phillies game.
Okay.
At what used to be called Spectrum Field. And the Oak Ridge boys were singing the national anthem. So I'm standing in the Hooters area, you know, that Hooters box over down the third baseline. And I see my buddy who shoots for Pewter Report. And I said, you know, I texted him or called him. I'm like, Cliff, I'm going to go up to Danny Bottaducci. Would you please take a picture? Now, he's in the first base dugout. So Danny Bottaducci throws the first pitch. He starts to walk towards the dugout. He's walking towards me, the Oak Ridge boys and such. And I go up to him and I said, Mr. Bottaducci, would you mind would you mind taking a photo? I've been. That's as far as I got. Mr. Bottaducci, would you mind taking a photo? I've been. It's as far as I got. And he said, you've been told your whole life that we look alike, right?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I don't see it, but yes. So I'll post the photo. I'll find it in my office.
That's awesome.
And I will post, you know, the photo of Danny Partridge and myself.
That's pretty cool.
And real quickly, I know I'm boring because I'm just trying to stay away from your story. I went and I saw the Bronx Wanderers Sunday. Do you know about them?
What is that?
And you need to call your buddy from the pizza tour.
Oh, the Tony Giminati.
Right. Because these guys are from the Bronx.
Okay.
Which I know they do the Brooklyn thing, but it's close.
Right.
His whole story is phenomenal. It's very cool.
Okay.
And I kind of teared up when I was telling my mom the story that the band that he has been in, the Bronx Wanderers, they kind of got older and whatever. And he tells the story how one of the musicians said, you know, we're done. We can't do this anymore. This is a young man's thing. Your kids are talented. And so he now tours with his two sons and the band that his son, Vinny, put together in high school.
Wow.
And spot on. I will go back and see them in Vegas.
So I thought you were talking about Tony Giminati, who owns Pizza Rock in Vegas, you just attended. He just filmed a video last night with the Harlem Globetrotters. Now, I know your stance. It's not the original Harlem Globetrotters.
My boys are the Globetrotters.
They've all been replaced. Who are the originals, like Larry, Curly Moe?
Yeah.
What were the names of it?
What? Meadowlark Lemon.
Oh.
Curly Neal.
The Three Stooges. The same thing.
Billy Ray Hobley. I used to get postcards from Billy Ray Hobley.
Really?
As they traveled the world. And we became friends. I met him at a Hooters, at the original Hooters.
Okay.
After an event.
Sure.
And we became friends, and he used to send me postcards. You know, I'm here, I'm there. Sometimes it would just be nothing. It would just be a blank postcard, and you would know it was him.
Wow.
And, you know, may he rest, and I hate that line, blah, 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 blah. But what a good dude. And I remember we've had some great, great stories that he would tell me as they traveled. And he said, and then you can get back to your borniness, but, you know, he told me the story that, you know, a lot of people really have no idea how good of basketball players we are.
Right.
They just think we're a circus.
Sure.
They think we're clowns, blah, blah, blah. You know, and NBA teams wanted to sign him, but he was touring the world.
Right.
You know, making good money, touring the world, you know, going into places that he would never go. And, yeah, Billy Ray Hobley, definitely a good dude. His brother or cousin, Lifford, played for the Miami Dolphins.
Okay.
And, you know, I remember you talking to him all the time, too. But Billy Ray, his ordeal was the headband around his neck. You know, they all have their little steals.
Sure. So, I mean, so is that, so are they just the Globetrotters? Because they're not the Harlem, it's not the original group. They're all like, you know, fill-ins, like any famous band, right?
Yeah,
like, the original band singers have moved on or passed away, so now it's like new people.
I told you that's my big pet peeve of Little River Band.
What about Neil Peart? Just passed away. Rest in peace. Neil Peart.
Who's that?
Isn't that the drummer for Rush?
Oh, I don't know. Who's Rush? What a rush. That's what the Hawk and Animal used to say, the Road Warriors. They used to say that all the time. Oh, what a rush. All right, let's go hit at the bottom of the hour break. When we come back, we should have Drew Dober on, our final guest, as we get prepared for Saturday night Cowboy on the Budweiser can, taking on Connor on Proper 12. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Zone. We'll be right back.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is the A-Hole Show. Wes Sims here, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris, my main man.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
Hi, everybody. It's Dick Vitale of ESPN and ABC. Hey, let me tell you something. You're talking sports with Randy Harris, baby. You better listen. He's awesome with a capital A.
We're back live. I didn't know you knew Dickie V like that. He's a legend.
Is he a legend?
A legend. First ballot Hall of Famer, every category.
Hall of Famer for what?
College, radio, broadcasting, people. humans.
Ray's ticket holder.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't have a very good choice of teams. But I mean, come on, Dickie V. I mean, the V Foundation and like the selfless things that he's done with his career to give back to so many fighting cancer and to save lives and inspire hope.
He didn't want to do the liner.
Really?
You know, when we went up to him at the time, I was on another station, a station that every Jew should be on, a Christian station. And I had to use that card. I'm on a Christian station. Come on.
No, I mean, look, you say in the media world, like there's a few people you'd be willing to lose credentials for to get a photo or like an autograph. Like,
I'm going to say nobody.
Right, but yeah, obviously nobody. But Dickie V has got to be the GOAT. I mean, who else is better?
Really?
Yeah,
if you're going to lose credentials, it's going to be for Dickie V.
Who else would you put up there?
I could think of, no disrespect to Dick Vitale.
Yes.
Okay. But if I'm going to lose credentials,
who's a better broadcaster? Name,
but it's not broadcaster.
Or announcer. It's
not that. You're saying, who are you willing to lose your credentials over? Which, A, should be nobody.
True.
But if it is, well, the first and foremost would be Rocky Balboa.
Well, yeah, but he's not a real person.
What?
I mean, Kevin Kangaroo is not a real person either.
Sure he is.
Well,
where's Mr. Green Jeans? You're telling me Mr. Green Jeans isn't real? Well, of course he is.
We'll get you an autographed ping pong ball from Captain Kangaroo.
Okay.
But no, I think, you know.
I would not lose
college. He is college basketball.
I get it, but that's.
The greatest sport on earth.
What
the
is?
The tournament, the March Madness.
You're insane.
The greatest spectacle of all.
There's no way.
What would you put above it?
College wrestling.
No.
The college wrestling tournament is so much better. It's awesome.
It's good.
No, it's awesome.
I love it.
How many times in our, I don't want to use the word friendship, in our, I don't want to use the word relationship, in our acquaintance, okay?
Okay,
how many times in our acquaintance have I ever used the word awesome?
Probably never.
Matter of fact, my soon-to-be daughter-in-law asked me, what is the difference between good, okay, and all right? Because typically when we go out to eat, they're like, well, how was it? It was all
right. Right.
It was okay.
Because right, your standards are high. And you've had so many steaks in your life.
It's good. I mean, if you have a meal and it's good, what are you going to say? It's great.
Right.
It's awesome. It's the greatest meal I've ever had. It's all right.
Right.
It's all right. It's all right. I don't know why I went off on the all right story, but losing my credentials over Rocky Balboa won first and foremost.
Well, what's a better sport? I mean, like off the tournament, the NCAA men's basketball tournament, I think is the greatest sport, the greatest spectacle.
I'm going to say the collegiate wrestling.
Okay.
I will sit and watch that whole thing start to finish.
Because you're passionate about it. You like the wrestling.
Well, and you're passionate about Hoosiers.
But Dickie V encapsulates that NCAA basketball. The whole March Madness is his voice, his energy.
I'm not disagreeing any of that. I'm not disagreeing any of that. And to the best of my knowledge, only one time, and I've always said about losing your credentials, blah, 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 only one time did I have a possibility of losing my credential by doing something that I probably shouldn't have done.
Taking a photo with the former celebrity turned president?
What do you mean? He's still a celebrity.
Oh, yeah. He's the greatest celebrity. Actually,
right now,
when you speak of Conor McGregor, who's fighting Cowboy this week, you always say you have to have equal number of people hate you as people who love you.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to like McGregor making the big payday, $100 million fights with Mayweather and all the antics, is there a bigger celebrity ever in the history of the world than Donald Trump?
Ever is a big word, but obviously right now, I'm going to say no. I mean,
he has equal people that hate and despise him as much as adore and love. And
I've seen both. When I was at the fight at Madison Square Garden, and you know me, I'm not going to, both sides are liars.
Right.
Okay.
Right,
you know, let's be honest.
Of course.
I was at MSG. I saw and heard what went down at MSG. And then, you know, we watched the football game on Monday night, and we'll talk more about that shortly. Right now, we're going to complete our trifecta of fighters that will be fighting this Saturday, where I will be in attendance again, fighting on the card. Let's welcome to the program, Drew Dober. Drew, how are you?
I'm feeling fantastic. How are you guys feeling?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Give me your thoughts on fight week. I know it's only the beginning. It's Wednesday. You're just now starting to get into it. But it's not your first fight week. So, I mean, do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you just wish it was Saturday already?
It's a combination of all of the above. But fight week, honestly, like, as soon as I get here and I check in with the UFC, like, I'm just reminded of just why I love this sport. And, this week it's kind of rough. You know, we're packaging, we're wrapping all the presents before Christmas, right? We got the weight cut, the media obligations, stuff like that. But having this opportunity to be around the UFC staff members, talking with you guys, and just getting my body ready for Saturday night, it reminds me of just why I do this. And so fight week is very essential to increasing my excitement.
Do you try to think about Saturday? Do you try not to and do all of your obligations and maybe go out a little bit? I know it's a work trip. It's not a vacation. But, you know, so how do you walk that fine line? And what are you thinking day in and day out?
It's never perfect. But so what I try to do is you just got to feed the positive thoughts. So if I think of Saturday night and things are going great, like I just love it. This is what I love doing, and the fight's going to be fantastic. Then I keep thinking about it. But as soon as I start thinking about like the amount of work, the exhaustion, like all that, like the negative, and I dismiss it and I think about something else. When it comes to the way the mind works as an athlete, you can have a positive and negative way of thinking about the same situation. So I just try to feed the positive thoughts and then try to dismiss the negative ones.
Eve Edwards once told me many, 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 many years ago that, Saturday is the reward. You know, it's all that hard work that you've done for the past 6, 8, 12, not only weeks, but years leading up to the reward, your Christmas day on Saturday, correct?
Oh, yeah. No, I agreed. I believe that wholeheartedly. Getting to Saturday is the hardest part. Saturday is just enjoying what you just created.
How has the sport changed? I think 2009. When you became a professional fighter, how has it changed for you? And how has your workload and your daily preparation changed in going on 12 years or so?
Oh, that's such an in-depth question. It's changed in ways that I would have never predicted. When I first decided I wanted to be an ultimate fighter, that was around the same time that like the reality show first came out. And so before, like, there was no fame, there was no money, it was just the love of the sport. And then the reality show came out, and then it just escalated, and, like, the sport's now becoming one of the largest sports in the world, and I've been a part of it, and, like, I wouldn't have been able to imagine this at all. So I've just been enjoying the ride. And as far as, like, my, like, mentality goes, being an athlete in his 30s, I've been working diligently on just connecting the mind to the body and using like that in my training and really just enjoying every moment of this career because it's short-lived.
Absolutely. I just told Andre, who was on last hour, the very first UFC I covered was UFC 11, Mark Coleman in Augusta, Georgia. And the after party was in the ballroom. It had a cheese plate. I think I said two media, three fans, Tank Abbott. that was the after party. How far it has grown. From early UFCs to today is mind-boggling, and I still think it can grow more.
Oh yeah, it's still going to grow leaps and bounds. And when my shelf life is up, and I'm a retired athlete, I want to help this sport continue to grow and help the next generation do. I mean, because we're still kind of a low tier, being treated like B-level athletes, and I want to see fighters be treated like NFL athletes, NBA athletes, all these. Like, I want to really excel the sport after I'm done competing.
And I think the start of that, Drew, happened last year. I like Spike, I like Fox, but the move to ESPN, and now, and I mentioned this earlier as well, when you see your name down at the bottom of an ESPN scroll and, fighting Saturday night, Drew Dauber, I mean, it's got to be cool on the four-letter network to at least feel like it's on its way.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, and it actually brings me a lot of pride to be a part of the UFC, the largest, promotion in the sport in the world, and then seeing it on ESPN, and it's exciting to see it, but I see also so much more potential. I think this sport can be the largest sport in the world. I feel like it can surpass, possibly soccer, because, violence and conflict and then fighting is in human DNA, and then we love it. We will love watching it, and so, this could be the sport for the world,
if I could stand up, I'm behind a table and I can't stand up, but if I could, I would give you a standing ovation right now, because most people would say the number one sport in the world, NFL, but it's not. Soccer is the biggest sport in the world. So I'm giving you a standing ovation right now. You know,
let's get to NFL is huge in the United States, but the UFC broadcasts in more than just one country. And, you know, with my fight on Saturday night, and I'm fighting a guy, you know, from like Afghan and Germany, and he's bringing a lot of eyes from other countries. And so that's just an example of like how big the sport's getting.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to know you a little bit. A couple questions I'd love to ask. You're going to have dinner for four. You're going to invite any four people. It cannot be family members. It cannot be, you know, coaches, teammates, and it cannot be and family members, living, passed away, real or fictitious. Who are you going to sit down, spend a couple hours with? Let's get to know you a little bit.
Yeah, four people. Yep. Mike Tyson for sure. Gandhi would be fantastic. Abraham Lincoln. Let's see here. For the fourth person, let's do. Man, I'm drawing a blank.
We can go three. It's my rules.
Yeah. I think those three. I would love to sit down and talk to just influential people in their discipline. A politician, an athlete, and, you know, or like religious leader. Like, it'd be so cool to kind of pick their brains and learn, you know, just the way they think.
And let's be honest, they'd be, you know, picking your brain as well. You know, they're trying to find out about you as well, so it would be a cool dinner. Favorite movie? If you had to watch the same movie over and over and over again, what would it be?
It's either The Matrix or Fight Club.
You know, I've just never seen either one of those.
Well, the Fight Club, the Abe Lincoln reference is awesome.
Oh, really?
Because that's part of one of the picks. Like, good tall guy, long reach.
Nailed it.
Could you see yourself doing any of these reality TV shows? You know, Survivor, was it Naked and Afraid, Big Brother, any of those? And if so, which one?
Yes. And unfortunately, my mother has been trying to get me on a reality television show since I was like a young teenager. She was like literally trying to get me on The Real World and all that stuff. In all honesty, I'd do whatever one. I think reality TV shows would be very entertaining. I'd do Survivor. That'd be super interesting. I don't know how well I'd do, but I'd do it. I'll be up for it.
I've tried. I've sent the video in. I've gotten, you know, the producer on the show, and for some reason I can't get on it. I would either be the first one voted off, or I definitely would win. It would be one of those two. It wouldn't be anywhere in the middle. What's the funniest thing that's ever happened to you in the middle of a fight? Funniest, strangest, craziest, whatever.
In the middle of a fight. Oh, I had an opponent that was actually just telling me how bad he was getting beat up. it was like the end of like the second or the third, and I was on top of him. We were fighting, and he was just like, "God, you're really kicking my ass." I was like, that's the goal. I apologize, but it's the goal."
That is awesome. That's one of the best responses of all time. All right, what can you tell us not only about your opponent, but what we should expect Saturday night?
My opponent's tough, youthful, energetic, extremely talented, he's just going to bring in a lot of excitement into this fight. He's a striker, so he likes standing and trading, but I'm bringing in experience, the same energy, the same passion, the same level of striking, and so you put us in the cage together, and we're just going to have fireworks. Like, there's excitement written on this fight, and there's no way around it.
How do you relax, and how will you relax Saturday as you're backstage getting ready, you know, an hour before the walk, 10 minutes before the walk?
Man, it's hard to relax when you're about to get punched in the face in front of millions of people. But what I've been practicing is just mindfulness, just the ride to the venue, being in the locker room, warming up, and my favorite part, which is being put in that pit and getting ready to hear your name announced by Bruce Buffer, you know, or that walkout, and just being in that moment and enjoying that moment. Because once you're in the cage, then, you know, then that's happening. But before then, just enjoy every step of the way.
Good stuff. That is Saturday night in Las Vegas. I will be there. I will see you in the media room after. Drew, thank you for your time. We're going to put you on hold, get your address, and mail you out a care package from 8-Man Strong for coming on and talking to us today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, guys.
Thank you very much. Hopefully we'll be able to get you back on again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff. I mean, I'm getting pumped, and I normally don't.
Yeah.
But that's the whole object. You know, this is, and I'd like to call this the WWE, WWF kind of thing. You know, you got to get to know these athletes, and that's why a lot of times I don't talk about the fight per se.
Sure.
I want people to get to know these athletes, whether you like them or not. And I've always said to Matt Hughes, you have to be hated as well, loved or hated. You have to have people care. So that they'll tune in, whether it's on ESPN or Fight Pass or pay the money for, you know, the pay-per-view. And I think we did a good job with the three athletes that came on today.
Great.
And I'm looking forward to Saturday.
Great getting to know these guys outside of the octagon.
That's the object. That was pretty cool, though. You're really kicking my ass.
That's great.
Well, you know, we've had people say that they were getting their butt kicked.
Right.
You know, I don't remember who the athlete was that said, you know, he was getting elbowed in the face, and he's like, this might not be for me. It might be time to hang it up.
Right.
But that's the first time somebody said that they were told, hey, you're really taking this to the woodshed.
What a great psych out. I mean, like, you know, if you're doing it, maybe the person lets up a little bit. Maybe they take a little mercy on you.
No. And I love Drew's response. That's kind of the object.
Right, that's the goal. Sorry.
It is definitely the goal. You know, I told the story about there was a fighter in, and by the way, I better not, just in case I'm not able to release this yet. But let's just say Bad Man returns to Tampa Bay area very soon.
Really?
Bad Man.
All right.
And I'm very excited about it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Very, very excited about it. So there was a guy that trained in the gym that I used to train in, and there was a situation, and held on to a choke, you know, longer, you know, than he should, and I got extremely pissed about it.
Is that an unwritten rule?
Yeah.
What's the written rule on how long a choke is too long?
I don't know if it is written. You know, the unwritten is, you know,
when they're unconscious, when they go limp.
No. The rule, whether it's written or unwritten, is when the referee puts his hands on you, you stop.
Okay.
You know, if you feel a tap, you don't stop.
Because it's the referee's job to stop the fight.
Right. Because there have been times that tap, they stop, and then it's like, I didn't tap.
Right.
You know, and if the ref doesn't see it, there's no tap.
Sure.
Right? So, no. So, there was a situation. I got pretty vocal about it. We had, you know, a conversation. You know, he was very respectful. I said, you know, you're carrying this particular sensei or trainer or whatever you want to call, you know, to the ring, to the cage. You know, we all need to be respectful of that. Just like I'm on you all the time about being respectful of Knockout Radio and Tan Talk and whatever.
Sure.
You know, when you're carrying the flag in, now you're representing me.
Right.
Or whoever trains in the gym.
Of course.
So then this person fought in Atlantic City. And it was almost the Dan Henderson, Mike Bisping thing.
Okay.
Where the guy was basically out. And he basically went airborne and threw another punch. And he asked me in the cafeteria after. This was the best part of the whole promotion. We got to eat in the casino cafeteria.
Oh, that's nice.
For free.
That's even better.
It was definitely better. So he came up. He goes, what did I do wrong? I said, absolutely nothing. Until they say stop, you don't stop.
Your job's to finish.
But once they put their hands or they stop, you got to stop, whether you like the guy or not. But you're right. Is that a written or unwritten? I don't know. I've never seen a written handbook on fist fights or MMA or, you know.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's not a written rule in a street fight.
Yeah, there are no rules.
Because there are no.
Right.
Unless you're, you know, Kimbo, where you make rules for street fights.
Right. Right. But, yeah, there's no rules. Right. Like, your rule is to win.
Yeah.
Right. Or to survive.
For sure. So I don't know why you took me off on this tangent. All right. Go ahead. Tell the story. That's what it's been 25 minutes.
You've been avoiding this story.
I've been trying to avoid it.
Because I don't know why you avoid the fact that we are meant to be together, Randy Harris.
I'm married.
But here I am on the cover of the TVT. This is probably 10 years ago, 2009.
I didn't even know you.
I graced the cover of the magazine. I'm in the Gold's Gym. I got a huge slice of pizza.
Is there any truth that magazine went bankrupt after you were on the cover?
Possibly. Okay. Right. And then look, I got the pizza in my hand like Andre Feely, like touchy. Like, he's a big pizza fan according to his Instagram. So we got the pizza folded so I can make gestures with my other hand, keeping it free. And look, in the top left, Inglourious Basterds debuted on the same day as the go-kart racetrack opened. And we all know about my driving skills that yielded a championship trophy up there on the Wall of Fame.
Even though you really didn't win.
I mean, I have the trophy.
You have the trophy. But I just want you to repeat after me. You really didn't win.
I mean, I won the trophy.
But you brought the trophy home.
Okay, I received a trophy for my efforts.
Right. Where's my trophy?
Well, I think that is your trophy. I think you gave it to me, and then your quote was, I don't take participation trophies.
That's right.
And then I gladly said, I do. Right. And I put it up on the wall of fame.
It was pretty funny, the response of those people that put it on. And it was part of the St. Pete Grand Prix.
It was epic.
They looked at me like I go, I don't take participation trophies.
They were just in shock because they had an award ceremony presenter, and like they didn't know what to do with their hands. It was so awkward. It was so awkward, but yet I still have the trophy. And, you know, and the great thing about life is we move so fast, people won't remember. All they're going to see is my accomplishments.
No, I get it. You were a participant, and it's
so
all good.
So on the same cover of the magazine, three things that tie us all together.
Okay.
Glorious Bastards, pizza.
Thoughts on Saturday night, UFC 1206.
I think it's going to be, I think we're going to see a different Conor McGregor, a more mature Conor McGregor. We haven't seen his trash talking yet. We haven't seen, so I think this is maybe.
Which is disappointing because it's entertaining.
For the entertaining side.
But we'll see what happens tomorrow.
And what happens after the fight. If he's victorious, will he go back to his trash talking ways for the Khabib fight, demanding. Yeah, so I think there's a lot of play. There's a lot of like strategy going into this. I don't think this is just like he matured and he's just quiet. He's going to let his actions speak inside the octagon.
I've heard a lot coming out of Las Vegas about, you know, a different Conor McGregor. I don't want to say mature because I will never put mature and Conor McGregor's words together.
Right.
I will not ever do that. But it is sounding like it's a different. It sounds like, you know, he's prepared.
So it looks like he's jacked. He's put on some muscle. I mean, he's going to be heavier than he's ever been. So that could be some trouble for the muscle mass that he's carrying.
Which Donald Cerrone is going to show up? Is it a Donald Cerrone who is coming? I mean, he's never going to lay down. He's never going to, you know,
right,
give this away. I'm not implying that at all. But, you know, is he just coming, you know, for the paycheck, which will be sizable?
Sure.
Or is it a Donald Cerrone that's coming to win this fight at all costs? And has he learned his lesson not to blow his nose?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Donald Cerrone just fights because that's all he knows and that's all he loves. And
well, it's all any of them know.
Yeah, but he has the most fights in UFC history.
Right, but I'm still saying all these guys, it's all they know.
That's all they know, right.
But I mean, making pizza is all you know.
Sure.
I've seen all the other things you try to do. Pizza is what you know.
Yes, yeah, so my radio career is still a progress. It's still a work in progress.
It's at the Sesame Street level right now. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the entrance. I'm looking forward to the crowd. I'm looking forward to getting back on the plane and getting home on Sunday. I have things to do. I will be there less than 24 hours.
Yeah.
I'll be there 8 hours.
Yeah, that seems perfect. For a road trip, that's not bad.
Yeah, not even time to get down there and get one of the best slices of pizza.
I mean, you got Holly Holm on the fight. I mean, you got a great card. I mean,
can Holly rebound?
Right.
You know, I don't want to say a one wonder. But, you know, came in, did what she did, as predicted by me right here on this program. And it's harder to keep than it is harder to get.
Showtime Pettis. Like, we got Pettis fighting.
Yeah,
like, we got big names. If it's a good card, it's going to be a solid card.
All of our guests were on the ESPN card. So if you're not going, you don't even have to pay for the pay-per-view. You can get it on ESPN. Big ups, big congratulations to my buddy who just re-signed with ESPN, Jason Fitz. Former band director, fiddler from the band Perry. He's shooting up at ESPN and good stuff, and I'm very happy for him.
Congrats. And, I mean, I guess we should talk about, we have a football game coming up.
What one?
Well, there's two football
games. Two championship games.
Yeah, I mean, I called Tannehill going back to Miami. I called it last week. I said, what a storyline that's going to be.
It is a story, but I don't know if they can pull it off. I don't know. I hope they do.
I mean, so you got on Sunday at 3:05 p.m.
You know why I want Tennessee?
For the Make-A-Wish Foundation?
Well, that too, but the ticket prices will fall. So all the ticket brokers that have so much money invested,
right?
I think, you know, Tennessee, the value of tickets won't be as high.
But the Kevin Carter Make-A-Wish Foundation will benefit from having a championship Super Bowl in Nashville, bringing out all the players and the famous.
I don't see that. I mean, I think it's the year of San Francisco.
But it's so we've got Sunday at 3:05 p.m. the Titans versus Chiefs, and we've got at 6:40 p.m. Packers versus 49ers. So you're going with the 49ers?
I'm going San Fran, Kansas City.
Oh, and San Fran takes the whole thing?
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
I'm staying with the Titan train. I'm going to keep rolling on, and I think it's just too good of a storyline to pass up. And I think they'll be taking on the 49ers.
I want to thank one more time Jimmy Seafood for stepping up and offering and allowing us to give away. The interview didn't happen, so obviously we're not going to do it because we don't need to. But I do want to thank Jimmy Seafood for allowing us to do that.
Absolutely.
And possibly we'll do that again. Enjoy the rest of the week. Enjoy Conor McGregor, Cowboy Cerrone. We will broadcast next Wednesday from the PGA Golf Show. We do have a surprise or two coming there. For 8-Man Strong and Staff Zone, this is Knockout Radio. Hit me up on Twitter at Knockout Radio.
At Nick Pizza Man 1.
See everybody next week.
She said, look, what's your game?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's up, guys? This is Justin the Highlight Gaethje, and you're about to get KO'd by Knockout Radio.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3
Listen.